Stupidity has been presented by ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Hey, it's Stu. Thanks for checking out the biggest podcast in the world. Thanks to you. You have made this the biggest podcast in the world, bigger than Oprah. We're going to talk to my friend, my brother. I love him, Jorge Masvidal, today. You are welcome for this amazing content. Do me a favor, though. Subscribe, rate, 5 stars only, and leave a review. Again, Masvidal going to join us. And a little surprise for the Stupidity listeners coming up as well, our ESPN 49ers expert. Before we get to today's episode, though, I want to tell you about another great ESPN podcast, Marty Smith's America, a podcast I've never been on. He's been on this one 1,000 times. Stanzik, what's up with that?
Couldn't tell you. Just doesn't watch it, just like SVP.
All right. This week, Marty talks with Mississippi State head coach Mike Leach, who looks like a cartoon cat. You can download and subscribe to Marty Smith's America wherever you get your podcast. Mike Leach.
Welcome to a journey inside the soul of one of sports media's brightest minds. A profoundly nuanced odyssey called Stupidity. Hosted by the incomparable Stu Gotts, a man I consider a personal hero and icon of the industry. I want to make no bones about it. There is no Mike Greenberg today without the sensational Stu Gotts providing me the inspiration to chase my dream and challenge myself to be just half as brilliant as he is. Allow me, Mike Greenberg, a man who would probably today be doing traffic in Sioux Falls without Stu Gotts' influence, to welcome you to a truly transcendent sonic experience. This is Stupidity.
All right, welcome into another episode of Stupidity, the biggest podcast in the world. Please subscribe, rate, and review. Unsubscribe, resubscribe, re-rate, re-review. You have made us the biggest podcast in the world. We appreciate that, Stantic. I am very excited for next week. It is Super Bowl. I'm even more excited for this week because we have Jorge Masvidal and we have a 49ers expert, and unbeknownst to us, that 49ers expert is Mikey C.
Who knew?
Did you?
No.
I had no earthly idea until he tweeted out. Everyone was tweeting him congratulations that the Niners made the Super Bowl. It's weird.
Like he's on the team.
Right. So we question whether or not Mikey C knows a single thing about the 49ers, right?
Yeah, there's no way.
All right, so we're going to quiz him later. So we have the baddest mother on the planet and Jorge Masvidal. Let's talk to Masvidal first. Stupidity! Jorge, I don't want to ruin the reputation here because you're the baddest motherfucker on the planet, and quite frankly, I'd rather have that title and that belt and that name than any other title, belt, name anywhere in sports. But I tell people all the time what a great guy you are, authentic, genuine, caring. You're just a nice man, and here you are. You're on your way to pick up your kids from school. I mean, this is what you do. I trust my kids with you. In fact, what are you doing Saturday night?
We got the movies this Saturday.
You're going to the movies?
I think I'm taking the kids this Saturday to the movies is the plan.
Can my kids join you?
All right, it's on. You're paying for the popcorn, though.
No, I'm not going. I'll pay for
the free movie ticket.
Listen, I'll pay for everything as long as I don't have to go, okay?
But I feel you.
What's the last movie you saw?
Shit, last movie I saw. This is when the memory goes blank, and then I could just blame the punches to the head, you know? for small data, for data like that, I'm not the greatest, you know what I mean?
No, I got you. Stanzik, I have told you several times, right? I would trust Jorge Masvidal more so than just about anyone I know with my
last
kids.
Last movie I saw.
Which one? Whoa. Hold up. Slow it up. Everyone slow down.
I just didn't see it. This is not the first time I see it, but I just saw it again. It was The Big Lebowski. That's why I wasn't registering, because I've seen that movie so much.
Wait a second.
Yeah, The Big Lebowski.
That's not the movie I had in mind. That's interesting. Stanzik is a movie. I mean, he is the movie expert on this particular podcast. Big Lebowski, Stanzik. What do you think?
The Dude Abides. I'm in.
You're damn right, The Dude Abides. That's a classic right there.
Yeah, Rug really ties the room together.
Yeah, it really did. Lebowski.
I love the visual of you watching The Big Lebowski. Are you like belly laughing? Like, what's going on while you're watching that?
Sat in the comfort of my home, right, in my bed. Might have even been on Netflix.
Nice.
Or one of those Hula Hoops, right. Prime, one of those freaking crazy apps.
Hula Hoops. But listen, I want to tell you, and Stanzik will verify this, that I think you are so real and authentic and nice. You hate when I say that, but Stanzik, I do tell you this. First off, Stanzik, confirm for Jorge Masvidal, the baddest motherfucker on the planet, how many times I've told you that I would entrust him with my children for an entire weekend.
You say it all the time, but I'm also curious what your wife thinks.
Oh, my wife would too. She loves you. Jorge, like, she loves you.
Fucking awesome, man.
She loves you because you love me in a way that she doesn't. I
mean, emotionally.
What are you laughing at?
You're fucking nuts, bro.
I'm nuts. Look what you do for a living.
I love it, bro. I love it, man.
But do you get mad at me when I say how real, authentic, and genuine you are, or are you good with that? It's a compliment.
I can't get mad at no one's own opinions. I can't. People say I suck at fighting. I don't get mad at them. You know, they don't like my style. Hey, free country. That's why we're here, for your opinions.
I know. We're going to lure out Conor McGregor today, okay? I'm just telling you right now, we're going to lure out, because he's ducking us, champ, okay?
He's talking a lot of shit, man. But it's all shit, because he doesn't want this, man. He could have cut the sickest promo. And I'm telling you this because it's me and you, my boy. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
This is just me and you. He could have cut the sickest promo of life, you know? Had everybody extra one and talking about it. So we kind of understand where they're going, you know?
Yep. No,
certain things he said on the microphone as well, that he doesn't feel he's up to speed, that he needs to work on this, he needs to work on that. I get it, man. Go back in there, find your time and your groove. When you feel you're ready for the challenge, we do it. You know, there's no rush. I'll go get my title meanwhile. I'll go pick up Usman meanwhile. And then me and Conor could talk in the future if he wants to or not. It doesn't really matter, you know? I'm not here to bully people in the fight. You keep asking for the fight. I'm going to go about my business how I've always said I will.
All right, well, I want to play a couple of pieces of sound for you, if you don't mind. Chael Sonnen was on with me and Lebatard earlier this week. So I have three clips for you. I'm going to play them one at a time, and I just want to get Jorge Masvidal, the baddest motherfucker on the planet, I just want to get your reaction to what it is that Chael Sonnen said. All right, so here is cut number one. This is Chael Sonnen on with us, Jorge, Tuesday of this week. So here is cut number one.
Who do you want to see him fight next?
George Masvidal. And I know that Dana is saying Khabib, and I would never go against the boss, but I'm telling you that the dates just don't match up. Khabib already has a fight 4 months from now, so we're supposed to kick the Conor can, and then Khabib openly goes into Ramadan. He won't be available till September. Conor says it's Conor season. He wants three more fights just in 2020. I believe him, but that means we got to find him an opponent. George Masvidal.
All right, your thoughts.
Joe's a smart guy. He knows entertainment. He knows violence, and he knows me personally. So he's a smart dude, man. He knows what's up. He knows the biggest fight in combat sports right now to make is that fight, you know. But Conor still, you know, he's been out for a while, man, and we're asking him to come up to another weight class that is not his and fight the baddest motherfucker in that weight class, you know. Let the guy get in his groove. When he finds his groove and space, I'll still be at the top winning. He can come knocking on my door then. You know what I'm saying? But
yeah.
Right now, it sounded like from what he said right after the fight, you know, that he still wants to get up to speed and do certain things. Well, get those certain things done. Then when you're ready, get in contact with my camp and we'll figure it out.
You'll be waiting. All right, here's, I think you're going to like this one, really like this one. Here is cut number two from Chael Sonnen. Who would win that fight?
George Masvidal. But that's still a good fight. Listen, the days of counting Conor McGregor out are done. And I think that he showed that this weekend. If you told me a week ago Conor was going to fight Masvidal and you thought Conor was going to win, I'd bet you whatever you wanted to bet. I don't have that same confidence anymore. Conor can go with anybody. But there's something to size. Masvidal has the size.
I mean, Jorge, he is saying that you would beat Conor McGregor.
Like I said earlier, Chael knows violence, man. He lived it. He walked my shoes for many, many, many of years. You know, we worked in the same shows. Chael knows violence, man. He knows a lot about this sport. He knows the things that I could do to Conor. He knows the levels that Conor can't go to, the waters that he can't swim in. You know, I'm good everywhere, man. So if you're asking me, damn right, I'm going to hurt that guy. And that's a reason. That's the main reason why someone smart like Dana White doesn't put that fight together in a way, because they could put one huge fight together and all that, but then that kind of hurts Conor's reputation. Instead, get him several small fights, or not small fights, like this last fight that he had, and keep him winning and keep that cash cow generating that revenue as a winner. You know, because if you bring him onto this side, he's going to have to generate the revenue from the losing side of it. And it might not be as much as him winning several small battles. So that's how I think Mr. Dana White sees this thing, you know, because he brings him onto this side. He's leaving with an L, guaranteed.
Right, he's trying to keep him winning. Is that what you're saying, basically?
Man, I can't get mad at them. They got to make their money, too.
No, but at some point, I'm telling you, as your hype guy, as your guy, as your corner guy, I'm telling you, at some point, we got to piss some people off because I'm tired of, McGregor's got to fight someone and you're the guy to fight. Like, that, man. Keeping him undefeated. He needs to fight the baddest motherfucker on the planet, and that's you.
I'm here, and I ain't going nowhere.
We're going to get to the final sound in a second here, but put us where you were. Like, did you watch the Cerrone fight? Did you watch McGregor fight Cowboy Cerrone?
Yeah, I was there front row center. I had some of the best seats in the house. I was there as a fan mainly, and also to watch things as a sportsman, as an athlete, you know, see if I could see mistakes that Conor made or giveaways that he gave, you know, that I'd be able to see with my clinical eye. So I definitely enjoyed the show.
That's my boy sitting front row, as you should be. What were you thinking as it was going on?
They better not put that boy in there with me.
Either of them.
No, me and Cowboy already, you know, we already had our contest, you know, and hats off to Cowboy. He's a stud, you know.
Yeah. Did you baptize him?
Good. Yeah, he got baptized actually twice in one night, but it's cool, man. I mean, I got nothing but props for Cowboy. He's a hell of a fighter.
Stanzik, how much do you love the fact that he baptizes people?
It's quite a phrase.
Isn't it amazing?
I love it.
It's my favorite thing. Besides your hair, it's my favorite thing about you. Okay?
But it's an easy job. It sounds so glamorous and like, oh yeah, I'm going around the world baptizing people. It's not as glamorous as it sounds. Some of these people are putting up a fight, Sue. And I gotta bunker down, bite on the mouthpiece, and give it to him.
I am well aware. So listen, we're gonna have to lure him out. We're gonna have to go to drastic measures. We will in just a second. How did McGregor look to you? Like McGregor that night against Cerrone, how did he look in comparison to how he's looked in the past? Did he look better? Did he look worse? How did he look to you?
He looked good, and he had considerable size that he gained from all his previous competitions. I've seen him in. He's definitely gained some size. The fight only lasted 40 seconds, right? So,
yeah.
I've always seen Conor do a lot of the same things that he did. Maybe some new elements like the shoulder strikes and things like that he was doing. But a lot of the stuff he's always done, he's always been great at it. Punching, kicking, mixing it up, you know. I think it was the first time maybe he hurt somebody really bad with a head kick. But I've seen him head kick before, or at least throw him.
What advantage do you have over him? Like you say that you're being complimentary towards him, as you should. I understand, and he is a great fighter. But like, you didn't watch that saying, "Oh wow, Conor, maybe he has a chance to beat me," right?
Well, no. I do. I always when I'm looking at a fighter, I try to be as neutral as possible, you know, because obviously I'm always going to be leaning towards a certain somebody, and that certain somebody is me. But I do try to be as aware of situations as I possibly can and as honest with myself. Like, if somebody has a good high kick, I'm not going to sit there and go, I'll take his high kick and then keep fighting. No. I'm staying away from that. I respect your high kick. I'm not going to get hit by your high kick. I'm going to do everything possible to use that high kick against you. I'm not going to take it. I'm not going to let you hit me in the arms with it or in the face, things like that. That's what I mean. So I'm very realistic with myself and what weapon somebody has. If somebody has good cardio, I'm not the type of guy that I'll say, I have better cardio. No. I'll see what he offers, and I'll see a different way of combating that. So I'm always very honest with myself. I know what Conor brings. He brings great speed to this weight class because he comes from 145. So he's used to a different speed altogether. Those guys also have a great gas tank down there. There's some elements that Conor does bring. And now there's some elements that I bring that he's never in his motherfucking life experienced. Like the sheer power that I have, an explosion. If I explode in his face, it's game over, man. He's never felt power like this in his whole entire life.
Yeah, and that's kind of what Sonnen was saying. But this is interesting to me, Jorge. If you thought someone was a bad matchup, if you thought someone might be able to beat you, would you tell me? Like, would you tell people?
Well, if somebody's a bad matchup, I'll say it's going to be a bad matchup. I'll straight up say it's going to be a tough fight, but I'm going to get it done. Because that's another thing. That's why I love fighting so much. Somebody can be a bad matchup for you stylistically. For whatever reasons, he possesses tools, maybe naturally, or tools that he worked for in the gym. They just mathematically add up wrong to you, right? Maybe this guy's like really, really long and really, really good at grappling, so he's able to get to you and doesn't let you throw no strikes and stuff. But it's still a fight, though. You still have to impose your will. That still takes gasoline, mental toughness, conditioning, heart. So all these things still have to play in a factor. So somebody could be a bad matchup for you, and you could still knock them the f*** out because it's still a fight. You know, you still have to impose your will on mine, even if statistically you're bad for me. So there's plenty of fights that are bad matchups for me. Conor's not one of them.
Ariel Helwani, he wrote an article. He thinks that Conor's next fight should be a rubber match with Nate Diaz. What do you think about that? You already beat him. I mean, geez.
Like I said, man, Conor Fuse has to go get another fight. Go do it, you know. And plus, they're one apiece on the books. Why not, you know? And obviously, I want the cash cow. I want all the money possible. But if they don't want to fight me, then blessings be upon you and go collect your paycheck. You know, I still have more options than all those guys you mentioned. My next fight is guaranteed the title shot versus whoever has the title when I just say I'm fighting for the title. So I'm in a great position. I'm actually in the driver's seat of all these conversations. It you know, Gamebred has to bless decisions or back away from deals for deals to come to fruition. I'm in the driver's seat. Everybody's just in the back enjoying wherever the I'm driving to, wherever I'm going to. And it sounds harsh, but it's the reality of it, and I know other way to express it but then, you know, just to say it.
But here's what I don't like. You know, I don't like all these fights that he gets to work himself back into shape to fight you, the baddest motherfucker on the planet. Like, we need to get to this right now, man. That's what we need to do. Like,
we need to get to this right now, but if, man, Stu, we can't force nobody, you know. Okay. Think about it. Could they pay you any amount of money to get in there with something like me?
Any amount of money?
Not being friends, because it's different now. Now it's when we both get in there, it'd be like, wink, wink, you knock me out, I collect the money on the betting odds, whatever, because we're besties now. But if you didn't know me, if you really didn't know me, and they got to lock you up in there with me, they got to pay you a lot of motherfucking money, man.
How much would you advise, as my friend, how much would you advise me, how much would I have to ask for my, how quickly could you kill me?
That doesn't need to be said, because you're people's feelings are going to get hurt. But imagine if a guy that's been training since 7 years old, his whole life, and then on this particular night that we were to compete, he trained 12 weeks for it leading up to that particular moment. And this is a guy that's been training his whole life, two-time national champion on the Olympic team and stuff. If I executed him as fast as I did, and that's a trained individual, you could do the math on a regular human being.
George St. Pierre once said, in a bar, if I had a pool cue and all he had, I think we gave him a pencil. He had a pencil on a pool cue. He said he can kill me inside of 8 seconds. Weird.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it. And that was him being modest.
Stanzik, what are you laughing at?
I think he's right.
I think he's right too, but I think Jorge could do it quicker. Like, Stanzik, how much money to, now you got me thinking, Jorge, like to be dropped in the ring with you, we're not friends, okay? You're trying to hurt me. I'm wondering how much money I would need to ask for. Do you have any suggestions for me, Jorge? Like $100 million maybe?
That's good. Shoot for the stars, man. Yeah. Nobody can put a limit on you.
I know. All right, I want to play this third piece of sound because I find it to be fascinating. This is Chael Sonnen talking about a fight that you gotten at a bar on the Levitard show earlier this week. Take a listen.
Is it true you once saw Masvidal knock out three guys in a nightclub?
Saw it?
I did not see it. I just got my hands on that story over the weekend, and I asked George, I said, hey, man, I got to tell that story. Am I okay to tell it? And he didn't know anything was interesting about it. He said, yeah, cool, and he hung up the phone on me. I said, all right, I'm telling that story.
So tell the story to the audience, because Greg Cody assumes the audience knows everything he knows because he's very self-involved.
I do. Thank you.
George goes into a club, and he's wearing a chain necklace, and two guys walk up to him that he doesn't know, and one guy flicks the necklace. So George, for whatever reason, interprets that as they're getting ready to rob me. So he knocks both guys out. Now, if you ever meet a guy that tells you, I went to the club and I threw two punches and I knocked two guys out, you just met a liar. Unless that person's George Masvidal. So George lays these guys out, decides he needs to duck into the bathroom while security deals with this mess. The crowd comes around, goes in the bathroom. Some guy comes in the bathroom behind him. George decides, well, that guy could be with them, knocks that guy out. And I say, Masvidal, what if the poor guy that came to the bathroom had nothing to do with it, was just there to use the restroom? And George said, I couldn't take the risk.
I have no recollection of this. I plead the fifth, Your Honor. I was never in such events. I have no idea what they're talking about, actually.
Do you want to tell the story or no?
Well, I would love to tell a story, but I plead the fifth. I would actually have to talk to my lawyers and stuff. I have no idea what they're talking about.
Okay. I got to tell you, man, what we did with Nate Diaz being backstage with you, walking on stage with you. Listen, Jorge, I'm telling you right now, we're friends. We love each other. We're family, man. You're babysitting my kids on Saturday night. This is fantastic.
Nobody said the whole day now either, Stu. I got just a movie and that's it. Not the whole night, because then you got to do breakfast and that's a lot of work.
All right, just a movie. That's fine. Just a movie. But I am telling you, Jorge, thank you for allowing me to do it. It was one of the coolest f***ing moments of my life, okay?
Oh, we're not done. The next one's going to be a little more violent, a little cooler, so get ready, man. Remember, just like last time, barefoot and mouthpiece.
Right.
You never know.
Right. But I'm going to be in the corner next time, right? I love walking on stage. I was part of your entourage. I think I did my job well. We got great video. I was in Dana's face. I was in everyone's face. But now I'm going to be in the corner next time, right?
You got to be studying. You got to be reading your books. You got to be knowing your shit. I can't just have you in the corner looking pretty either, my brother. I can't come back to you for advice. Maybe the guy's a tough matchup. I'm coming back for advice, and you're like blank. You know, you're just staring at me like, I don't know what to do.
Go throw some punches. Kick.
I don't know what to do. Hey, I got a pocket knife. You want to borrow it?
Since that last fight, like, you're sitting front row, like, what's happened to you in terms of your life, your celebrity? How has it changed since that last fight at Madison Square Garden?
Well, we've been getting to work a lot. We've had this Mezcal project, for about 3 years. I've been working on this Mezcal project. We just announced it to the public a couple of days ago. I am, owner in a Mezcal brand that I released, that it is my own Mezcal. Don't worry about your bottles. It'll be arriving shortly, Stu.
Okay.
The signed ones and all, and we just launched that. So that took a lot of work. That's been working. All I've been doing is gym and closing in on this deal, and we needed 2019 to go just the way it did. It couldn't have gone a degree left or a degree right. It had to go just the way it did. I had all that weight already on the shoulder since 2018, starting the year, so I knew what I had to do and get done and how to do it. And I went out there and delivered, you know, and we have the same task sheet, goals, quotas to meet for 2020. I have a lot of work, so I'm excited. I don't get to do anything much else but be in the gym and focusing on my business. And I love to be submerged with my work. I don't like no free time because, you know, if you get bored, then there's room for f***ing the stupid shit to come take over, you know. So I just submerge myself in my work, and that's it, my brother. That's really all I do.
Do you have any irrational fears? Like, is there anything? I'm wondering, Stancic, this would be funny if Jorge Masvidal is, like, afraid of frogs.
You are.
Like I am, yes, but I'm not a fighter. Do you have irrational fears,
Jorge? No, I actually, I'm going to think hard. There's things I don't like,
right?
But nah, there's, like, nothing that I'm, like, nothing paralyzes me fear. I wasn't built with that function.
Okay.
There's no paralyzing fear inside of me.
So if you saw, like, a snake, you would be totally cool with that or something like that?
I'm not touching it. I'm not the person. I've never taken a picture with a snake. You know how people are walking in the mall and they got a f***ing huge python that's 80 feet long and, you know, there's a wraparound line around the block to take the picture with the thing because it's free? No, that's never been me. I'm not scared of them, but I just don't go out of my way to touch a lot of animals, you know? It's not like I'm going to see a bear and try to get friendly or nothing like that.
Jorge Masvidal is with us here on Stupidity. Do you agree with me? The BMF title is the most coveted title of all titles.
It is the title of titles. It's one out of one. As the president of the company, Dana White, said, as the company itself has said, it's one out of one. There won't be another one made or competed for, nothing like that. So I hold the belt. This is very valuable. You know, that's why it's locked away in the safe, somewhere safe.
So you said the other day, and I had that belt on, by the way. Thank you for allowing me to wear it. But you said the other day that you would put the BMF title on the line if the person you were fighting would put something else in return on the line. What would that something have to be?
I gave the belt to my father. So right. Me and my dad would have to sit down and talk about, because we're both gambling, man, so don't worry about that. It has to be right, you know. We're not just going to put up the belt for you to win and me not to win nothing. No. You got to put up something because I'm not obligated to defend this belt. I'm not anything with this belt. This belt is done. It was up for grabs that one night, that one special moment in history. And guess who showed up and did their job? No questions asked. Made it a no-brainer. Who won it? Me. I did such a good job that another man that his whole life read books on how to heal humans and went to courses and seminars and has 20-plus years as a doctor, said, no, if this man continues on, he might lose his eyeball. This is too much violence. It's no longer a contest. It's now butchery. We have to stop it. That's how good of a job I did on that day. And now the belt is mine. So if somebody wants that same belt, they just got to put up something that makes me and my dad say, yeah, we'll put the belt up.
Are you telling me that you're good if Conor is not the next fight? Like, you like where you're headed and you're okay where he's headed in terms of who your next opponents are going to be? Are you good with all this right now?
I'll leave this abundantly clear. I'm in a spaceship with no rearview mirrors. Shout out to Outkast for that one. And I'm taking off, man. I'm just going. And I'm not looking back. I don't give a f- who's to the left or the right. Obviously, I want the most money possible every time out. And I want the most prestigious titles. And I want every title that there is worth of having. Even if I just heard rumors that they have some coveted title in some island somewhere buried under some f***ing sand that I have to go dig up this treasure, I'm going. I'm gonna go get that title. And there's nothing that I'm not going to get. Who the dance partner is at this moment, I really don't give a f***.
It seems like in your mind, you shouldn't have to chase Conor. Conor should be chasing you. That's the feeling I get.
No, not even the chasing. It's just the let's go. You know, I've already said it. Hey, we're here to fight. Have they said they want to fight? Have they signed the paperwork? Have they anything? No, they haven't. It's a lot of he say, she say talking, and that's not a game that I get into. That's not something to give a f-. I'm not in high school, my brother. I don't give a f-. That shit, that phase of rumor talk, to me, died a long time ago. It's action time now. I'm just in the gym getting in shape, you know, getting in the best possible shape I can so I can compete at the highest level I can against whoever that somebody's going to be. It doesn't really matter right now. It's either going to be for the title or for a lot of money. That's all that I know.
All right. Or for the title and a lot of money, right?
Exactly. But that's the only way it works. If I'm not fighting for a title, it's because I'm fighting somebody that's making me millions of dollars. If not, then not f- it. You know what I'm saying? It's not making sense to us, you know? But the boy stays in the gym, committed day in and day out.
By the way, like your hair, how does it, like, explain that to me? Because it's beautiful. I love it. It's something I could never do. And I imagine you just staring at yourself in the mirror all the time. Am I right?
Half the time, not all the time. I got stuff to do, so come on. The whole time staring at myself.
Because I'm telling you, it's my favorite visual of us walking behind the stage as we were going on stage for the weigh-in is me behind you. You're pounding your chest, but the hair is waving. I felt like I was following Jesus, man.
You're freaking nuts, bro.
I did. I watch it every day. I get goosebumps, man.
Oh, you're nuts, man. You're nuts, bro. And if that's what it took for us to baptize Nate in his own blood, then we're just going to have to repeat this process again, bro. We're going to just have to constantly do this walkout like this.
Right. I guess you're right. If it ain't broke, I mean, no reason to fix it, you know?
You can't fix it. Can't fix it if it ain't broke.
All right. So here's what I'm going to do. We're going to get you out of here on this note, okay? I want this McGregor fight as badly as you do. In fact, Stanzik, I think I want it more than he does.
I don't think so.
But here's what I'm going to do. The floor is yours. Say whatever the hell you want. But this is all I ask. I am going to get this to the right people. I'm going to get to the right people. I am going to help facilitate this fight. Not that your manager can't do it on his own because he's fantastic and I love him too. But when I get this fight secured for you, I am telling you 80-20 split. I'll let you have 80. Okay?
Okay. Right. Wow, hey, that's a freaking bargain, just 20%, huh?
Why, did I just undercut myself? What should I have asked for there? 50? What do you do?
No, we don't want to get ahead of ourselves here.
You're good with 80-20, right?
I think we can work 80-20.
All right, good. Stanzi, you have that on record, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. All right, so here's the deal. And listen, I realize you have, you know, you got a kid in the car. But say whatever the hell you want in an effort to lure out Conor McGregor. Whatever it is you want to say, the floor is yours. I will get the f*** out of the way, and then I'll get this to the right people and take 20%. Go ahead.
Conor, if you want to get your ass whooped, just ask for all the money that you possibly think you can get and get your ass whooped, because you know that's the only outcome with me and you. If you don't want to fight, it's cool, man. Go do your thing. Make your money. I'm going to be making money. If you want to get that ass whooped, let me know.
Who would choose to get their ass whooped, though?
Anybody gets in the cage with me, they all know it, man.
I like where I think this is headed. I think you're fine with him fighting whomever and you're fighting whoever because you know there's no one that can beat you. You know that. And so the more fights that both of you have, the bigger the payday is going to be once you guys actually fight. I like your f***ing strategy. It's a great business strategy. Shame on me for not being the one who thought of it. And that's why I am willing to only take 20% of the purse here. But that is clearly the strategy. Hey, go fight. Keep winning. Fight cupcakes. I'll keep fighting on my side. There is no one that can beat me. Eventually, you're going to have to fight me. And when we get together, I am going to take home millions of f***ing dollars. Is that right?
That's 100% right.
That's it. I love it. I love it.
1,000% right.
Because if you guys have five more fights each and you both win, I know you'll win your fights. We're not certain about him, okay? But I know you'll win yours. But let's say you each had five more fights each and you both won all five of those fights. When you guys actually do fight, the purse is going to be a lot more than it was right now, right?
Sir, yes, sir.
I'm starting to figure it out, Stanzik. Stanzik, this is my wheelhouse. Yeah, I'm starting to figure it out, right, Jorge?
And not just that, I can't force nobody, like I've stated many times. They don't want to fight me in the school, bro. I got many, many options to go. Right. So that's what we're going to do. I'm going to have to let you guys go now because the kids are looking at me all crazy. So they're about to attack me, man. So before I get my butt kicked, thank you for having me on, Stu Gotch, man. A pleasure. We're going to do this more often, bro. This was like therapeutic for me.
I know, but we're going to do it together in studio, right? You and I have discussed this, and perhaps we'll, we'll just be doing stuff. We'll be hanging around. So we'll do it face-to-face in person. Yeah, go be with your family, go be with your kids, and my kids look forward to meeting your kids Saturday night when you babysit them and take them to a movie, okay?
Okay, I got it. It's on me. This one's on me. You got the next Saturday, though, because next Saturday I do got plans, so you babysit next Saturday.
Done. Listen, my kids, my children, I have 16-year-old twin girls. They will take care of your kid anytime. You got me?
Perfect. This is going to be easy, man. Yeah, I'm just going to drop them off there every Saturday now.
You got babysitters for life, man. I promise you.
Thank you, man. I'll see you soon, Stu.
All right. I love you, dude. Talk to you.
Take care, my brother. See you soon, man.
Stupidity! All right, Stanzik, I enjoyed that. That guy is a friend. Thanks to him for babysitting my kids this Saturday night. I can't wait for your night for me and Abby. How about that?
Yeah, it's huge. And Stu, I don't know if you picked up on this until late in the interview, but he was kind of letting you know he wants Connor to get a few more fights in. He wants to get a few more fights in because that will drive the price up. It took you a while to kind of figure that strategy out.
Yep, a little slow on the uptake.
Yeah.
He was trying to tell me that 25 minutes ago.
Yeah, normally that's your strength, too, is you realize how that works. You totally missed it.
Yes, but Stanzik, when you want something more than the guy who's actually doing it wants it, because it will benefit me as much, if not more, than it will benefit him, you don't hear anything. You know what I'm saying?
You just heard dollar signs.
I want that fight, and I want it right now. I don't care when he wants it. I care about when I want it. But I enjoyed Jorge Masvidal. Stanzik, he wants to come up here and do an hour-long episode in my office. How about that?
I'm in. Let's do it.
All right. We shall. Stupidity. Let's go to the baddest motherfucker on the planet.
Stupidity!
All right, so you're a 49ers expert. Okay?
That's right.
How'd you become a 49er fan? Because none of us had any idea you were any sort of fan of any team, to be honest.
Didn't think you liked sports.
Right.
I probably told you every week when we were doing weekend observations and you just never paid attention. But no, it was the very first football game Mikey C ever watched. 1984. I was 7 years old. Yeah. And I remember I was sick. It was the diarrhea.
Oh.
And I just started feeling well. And my mother said, well, why don't you relax and put the Super Bowl on? I didn't even know what the Super Bowl was. I was 7 years old. And I put this game on, and Joe Montana against Dan Marino and the Miami Dolphins. And Montana was fantastic. And I was hooked for life as a San Francisco 49er fan. And yeah, it was great years for the most part. We had some slim ones in the middle. But for the most part, it's been pretty good.
Yeah, so you hopped in the bandwagon, essentially.
I was 7 years old. That was my first football game I ever watched.
So that's a yes.
Right. Okay. And by the way, did you talk about yourself in the third person?
I've done that before.
Yeah, yeah. That's what we love about you. It's one of the many things we love about you.
Mm-hmm.
So do us a favor. Before we get to these Niner questions we have for you,
questions lined up already.
Listen, we're prepared here, okay? Unlike you, we are prepared. Do me a favor. Put us at your Super Bowl party. Like, Stanzik and I are dying to know. Set the scene. Mikey C is watching the Super Bowl. What is going on around him?
Let's see. Me alone in my mother's basement because I don't like to be bothered.
Right.
I'll probably see what I've been doing through the playoff run because I'm very nervous. And of course, when you're nervous, you tend to smoke a little bit more. And so I've actually been watching the game on the iPad so I could just keep it over where I smoke in my smoking room instead of actually sitting in front of the TV and watching it.
Right.
And that way I could just walk around and smoke my cigarettes while I watch it. But last game, I really did smoke two packs for the entire game.
You smoked two packs during the game?
During the game. No, not last game. The Vikings game. I'm sorry.
Why, you were nervous that game?
Yeah, that was a little bit closer, yeah.
Okay,
Green Bay was easier on the lungs.
So, so the closer the game, the more heaters that are going into the lungs. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. So
I'm hoping for my health.
Hoping for a double overtime game. You are hoping for a legendary close game, 1 or 2 points either way. You don't really care if the Niners win. You just care that it's close. So you smoke a lot of cigarettes.
Pretty much.
We've set the over-under for the Super Bowl at two packs of cigarettes.
If I did that for the Vikings game, yeah, we're going to at least get that for the Super Bowl.
Oh, so we got to go higher. It's got to be 2.5 packs.
Yeah, long halftime show. Yeah.
What? Right. But what if it's a blowout?
If it's a blowout, then I may relax a little bit more and just pour myself, you know, like a nice rum and Coke and just chill out.
Here's what we want to do with you, okay? Because it was news to all of us that you were this big 49er fan, and maybe you said it every week. I wasn't listening, and I don't think you've ever said it, to be quite honest.
I'm sure I have.
I don't think.
I mean, Allison Stanzik know I was a Niner fan.
Told me.
I only knew from Twitter.
Okay.
Stanzik, did Gojo have any idea?
No.
Did Mikey A?
No.
You've done 1,000 shows with us. None of us knew.
Well, you guys just know me as one thing, and it's a smoker, nothing else.
You're a one-trick pony.
Yeah.
All right, we have 4 prop bets for you before we get to our Niners questions, okay?
Okay.
Stu, I think you missed that. It's 4 prop bets and then 9 questions.
Yeah, I'm sorry. 4 prop bets for you. We want to get your thoughts on the 4 prop bets before we get to the Niners questions.
Okay? You missed it again. 4 prop bets, 9 questions. San Francisco 49ers.
I got it.
You didn't know yet. I don't think you got it yet.
I did. I did get it. Thank you, Stan. All right, so Mikey, here's what we did. Mikey, keep it all in. Mikey, here's what we did in honor of the 49ers. All right. We have 4 prop bets and 9 questions.
I like it.
Stancy, did I get it?
Nailed it.
Okay. So we're going to get your thoughts on the 4 prop bets, and then we're going to ask you 9 questions.
All right, let's go.
Do you know why we're doing that?
Good God.
For the 49ers.
49ers.
Okay. 4 prop bets. You ready?
Thank God I'm not a 76ers fan.
That's a good point.
7 prop bets and 6 questions.
It might be the other way.
Are you ready for the 4 prop bets and the 9 questions?
Yes, I am ready.
Will the coin toss be heads or tails?
Heads.
I always go heads.
I always go tails.
Do you really? Tails never fails. I know. I always go heads, though. I'm with Mikey C. I think heads. I always take heads.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm doing there. Will J-Lo show butt cleavage during the halftime show? Yes is +500. No is -1,000.
No, it's supposed to be a little cold down there, huh? She's going to be a little bundled up, I think.
Okay, no one knows what the weather's going to be a week from Sunday, but...
I know, it's going to be a little chilly.
It could be 85 degrees. The last Super Bowl down here, I will tell you, driving rainstorm watching Prince at halftime. It was miserable. Are you more of a J-Lo or Shakira fan?
That's a tough one. That's like, do you like bread or water?
Yeah. Is that what it's like?
It made no sense, but jeez.
Just leave it right there. How many times will Alex Rodriguez be shown during the halftime show? Over or under a half? Over is +325. Under is -550.
Oh, over.
I agree. Stanzik, I feel like that's the easiest bet on the board right there.
I think so, too. It looks like it's easy money.
Like, when she's up there, they have to pan to him at least once, right?
I mean, he's got to be there. He's going to be in a box. Yeah.
I'm looking at 2.5. Yeah,
the game's on Fox.
Right.
Yeah.
He's going to be on stage. I mean, he's going to be on stage. I have him performing. I really do.
They'll show him at least once, and then they'll show him again kind of dancing around, and then maybe a half another time more.
All right. Who will score the first touchdown of the game?
Raheem Mostert.
Really? You're going to ride that pony again?
Yeah, right. Might as well, since they hand him to him 86 times.
Okay. Stanzik, would you go with... I would go with George Kittle.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I'm going to go with Tyreek Hill.
Hmm.
You guys are pretty confident that the Niners are scoring the touchdown first.
If I had to choose a Niner, I would choose George Kittle. Stanzik is going against you. He thinks the Chiefs are going to blow your Niners out.
I know I didn't say that.
Did
I just
really
scored the first
think?
Touchdown. No, it's not what I think. I think Mostert's a good bet.
Right.
I think I'd rather go with Tyreek Hill. I didn't put the odds there, but I think you get better odds with Tyreek Hill.
All right, you ready for your 9 questions here?
Yeah, let's go.
I'm ready. You see what we did there, right? 4 prop bets, 9 questions.
Yeah.
49ers.
I like it.
All right, name the 2 guys who were involved in the catch.
That would be Joe Montana and Dwight Clark.
Oh, man, he might be a Niners fan.
I'm proud of you, Mikey.
What lasts longer, your first cigarette before the game, the national anthem, Demi Lovato, or Rick Pitino?
Oh, I would say the national anthem.
Really?
Yeah.
And how fast can you smoke a cigarette? Because the national anthem is like $1.40.
Have you seen me smoke?
Mikey, honestly, I wrote that question. I was Googling how long does it take to smoke a cigarette, and it was anywhere from like 5 minutes to 10 minutes. And I was like, Mikey's probably a little faster. He's probably more in like the 3-minute
range.
Well,
I'm gonna be in a rush to try and get to see the game, so.
So you think inside of a minute and 40, you'll smoke your first cigarette? You'll be so nervous?
And jittery? Yeah.
Will you smoke one during the national anthem? Like, what?
I probably will, yeah.
We need a video of that. I think that's fantastic content.
Because I figure I'm going to try and squeeze one in before the kickoff, and that's what'll happen. That's what's happened in all the playoff games so far, so I'm only just going on what's been happening, you know, already.
All right, so what's the verdict here? I'm with Stanzik. I think, I don't know, this is weird. It was a weird answer there, Stanzik.
I need to see it, though. Mikey, if you can somehow make this happen, a live feed of you smoking a cigarette during the national anthem in whatever ends first, it'd be fantastic.
I'll try and make it happen.
Okay.
What so proudly we inhaled. Oh my God, Rick Pitino! By the way, how long do you have this national anthem, Stanzik?
I think it's like 1:40-ish, 1:45, somewhere in that range.
I mean, that's Rick Pitino would have sex 10 times in that time frame, right?
You got to remember, I usually smoke 100s, but for football games like this, I'm going to smoke the regulars, which are a lot shorter, and I can rip through those in 90 seconds, easy.
All right, good strategy. All right. Who did the 49ers lose to this season?
This season?
Yeah.
Let's see. They lost to Baltimore, the Ravens. They lost to Seattle once, and they lost to the Atlanta on that stupid goal line play with Julio Jones that I don't even know if he was over or not, but they lost to Atlanta.
Stanzik, he
is a 49ers fan.
Hold on a second. I mean, come on. He got the catch, and he got their 3 losses this year.
Right? I'm sold.
Are you really? You're sold already?
He's in.
How many players on this year's 49ers roster were on the roster the last time the 49ers went to the Super Bowl in the 2012 season?
Wow. Are you serious?
Hey, if you're a Niners expert, you'll know this. I mean, that's the deal.
Joe Staley.
Oh,
he'd
shit.
Be one.
Right.
I mean, can we like take away like offensive linemen aside from him? Even though he's an offensive lineman, he's the only offensive lineman I would know. If there's another one, I'll tell you. I don't know. DeForest Buckner.
No,
he wasn't on the team.
You're right on Staley though.
Yep. Let's see. It can't be that many left over.
Well, you got one of the 2, so I'm impressed with that.
No, there's only one.
There was only one, and I named
just
him?
Staley. You got it.
Oh, just one. All right. So you got Jesus fucking Christ. He is a Niners expert.
I know.
Holy shit.
Yeah, okay.
You got it right away. Like, it wasn't even like you had to think about it. He's like, well, Joe Staley's one.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What is the name of the porn star Jimmy G dated, and have you DM'd her?
I actually do not know that one.
I'm no longer a Niners fan.
I'm such a 49er fan. I wasn't going to take away from his, you know, action because I want Jimmy to be in a good, you know, place when he plays for my team.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I don't want to steal his women.
Right. You're doing him a favor. That's
exactly.
Very nice of you. Right. Okay.
Because, I mean, me and Jimmy G, you know, could probably date the same people, I'm sure.
Practically right. Twins.
But Stanzik, I am mesmerized by this. He actually knew Joe Staley, but has no idea who he dated.
I knew it was a porn star. Dude. What's
think
the name?
Think about it.
Think
come on,
about think. It?
Yeah, come on.
She was, I mean, I could picture her. She was.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah. You have pictures of her.
I know.
I guess everybody does. It's on the internet.
Do you want her stage name or her real name?
I actually don't know her. Do you know it?
No.
Oh. I just.
Kiara Mia?
Is that her real name or stage name? I assume real name.
What do you think? I'm an expert?
No, I'm looking at Mikey. I'm sorry you can't see that. He seems to be Googling this on a work computer. I probably wouldn't do that if I was you.
Yeah,
no, I honestly do not know her name. I'm not going to fool you guys.
And I'm married, so I can't do it. So, I mean.
Wait, so do you guys know it?
In fact, let me check it. I knew it. Yeah, I'm not a Niners fan, and I still knew it.
Yeah, Mikey, we looked up the answers to all these questions.
Kiara Mia?
Yeah, is that a stage name, or is that? I assume that's the real name.
It looks like it's her real name.
Does she have a stage name, do we know?
No, her birth name is, it looks like Diane Munoz.
Oh, okay. So I gotcha. All right, there we go.
Something like that. I probably butchered that, by the way. Spell Garoppolo. Stanzi, take his f***ing phone right now.
I just did. That's why I told him to put it away.
Take the phone right now.
J-I-M-M-Y-G.
You mother. Right, seriously.
So I spell it.
Listen, on air, Dan wants, and you got that from me, right? Because he once asked me to spell Mike Krzyzewski on air, and I spelt it C-O-A-C-H-K. I mean, so.
Well, ask me in 2 weeks, and I'll spell it MVP.
Oh, boy.
Oh, God. Oh, boy. Jesus Christ. 49ers expert Mikey C with us here on Stupidity. Spell Garoppolo.
G-A-R. A, P, O, L, I, O.
You left out a P. You
P's?
Added an I. I mean, you made him Garoppolo.
I think he gave him polio.
He did. He gave him polio. Who led the 49ers in tackles this season?
Fred Warner.
Correct.
He has a phone, doesn't he?
No.
He's not looking at it. He's not looking at his computer or the phone. He's an actual 49ers fan.
Holy shit. Who led the 49ers in sacks this season?
That was DeForest Buckner.
No, not a Niners expert.
Wasn't Bosa had nine?
It wasn't Bosa either. Keep guessing.
Bosa was second.
It wasn't D Ford because he was hurt.
Nope.
Wow, how do I not know this? It wasn't Buckner.
It was a Rick Armstead.
Oh, and that's not how you say it, but yeah.
How do you say it?
I think it's Eric.
It's Eric Armstead.
Spell Eric.
Well, he spells it A-R-I-K, right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Spell Armstead. Spell Warner. All right, so you got that
damn,
one wrong.
Damn, I did get that wrong.
Are you upset with yourself?
I'm tired. I told you I was up all night watching Don't F with Cats.
Sorry. You're off your game a little bit?
It was like till 3 in the morning, so I passed out.
List the following people from youngest to oldest. You, me, John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan.
All right. Kyle Shanahan is the youngest.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, gosh. You know how old I am? So, I mean, I guess they would have to figure into it. Then I'll go myself.
Right.
Stu Gatz, I know, is. I'll go John Lynch, then Stu.
It would be, you're wrong. Stu, you're not John a Niners Lynch? Expert.
It was close.
Wow.
Yeah.
Lynch is the oldest. Let's be honest. He is the oldest. You're younger than John Lynch, but you would kill to have his lungs, right? That fair?
That's safe to say, yeah.
All right. Stanzik, how are you feeling about this? Are we going to dub him a Niners expert?
So far, I think so.
I'm disappointed.
I mean, outside of not knowing who led the team in sacks or who the porn star Jimmy G dated is, he's pretty accurate.
All right. Last one for you. Final score, prediction of the game. Go ahead.
All right. Final score, San Francisco wins 34-28.
Wow, you got a close game. A lot of cigarettes. Holy shit.
I'll be ready, though.
All right, Mikey C., you are officially a 49er fan. Congratulations. I'll see you down here in Miami next week, my friend. I can't wait.
No, you won't. I wasn't invited down.
What?
Levitard. Never invites me to nothing.
Stupidity! All right, fun episode. Thanks to Mikey C, the baddest motherfucker on the planet. And, of course, thanks to Jorge Masvidal. Thanks, as always, to Stanzik. Thanks to you for making us the biggest podcast in the world, bigger than Oprah. We'll be live from Miami. Not live, but we'll be doing shows from Miami next week. I say we get 52 episodes done. Stanzik, if I set the amount of episodes we get done next week at 10, you going over or under?
Way under.
5.
Under.
4.
Under.
1?
I think it's going to be 1 on the nose, so I don't know what to do there. I don't think I'd place a bet.
I feel like you want to go under there. So we may or may not have another episode for you next week. Thanks, everyone. Stupidity!